The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
E-cigarettes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased to say that on the line we are joined by Louise Ross, the clinical consultant at National Centre for Smoking Cessation and Training. A very good morning to you, Louise.
Hello there.
Good morning, Louise. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's a lovely day here.
Isn't it a lovely day for a walk? No.
Now, new research from the University of Pennsylvania suggests that just one e-cigarette can raise the risk of a heart attack and stroke. Is there significant evidence to suggest that e-cigarettes are bad for us?
No, there's not.
Oh, wow.
I think it's really important to understand that we're not recommending that people who don't smoke use e-cigarettes. They're for people who do smoke and want to stop. And we have had, through my own service that I used to manage in Leicester, we have had hundreds of people go through the service using their e-cigarette and saying, this is like a revelation. I thought I'd tried everything and I hadn't tried this. And their health improves just as quickly as it does for anybody stopping smoking with nicotine replacement therapy or Champix or any of the other methods. So, you know, we're very, very positive in the UK about this.
Yeah. Just very quickly before I ask you the next question that I've got scheduled here, but what's the reason for... I mean, you can't smoke in the pubs, vaping, and you can't do it anywhere. You have to be treated like a smoker. That's the only thing that I find quite silly about it. If it is completely, you know, not harmful to anybody else, why is it you are treated like a smoker?
I think that's a very valid question. Now, there's no law to stop people stop people vaping indoors. The law is about smoking. Mm-hmm. People can vape indoors, but it's at the discretion of the manager or the landlord. So for some pubs and bars, they're fairly cool about this. They don't mind, as long as people don't make a nuisance of themselves and blow great big clouds and annoy other people.
Yeah.
But discreet vaping is very welcome in some bars and pubs.
Well, I've never been in one of those, Louise, but...
Right, well... I think it's worth, you know, trying... Are you a vapor yourself, then?
Unfortunately, Louise, I have to admit to you, I'm a smoker. And,
you should give the vaping a try as
You know what, I gave it a try once and it didn't work for me, but I might actually go back to it. Is the image of vaping as a healthy alternative, is it something which needs addressing?
I think we need to do more talking about it as a better alternative.
Yeah.
Because we know that one in two smokers are going to die of a smoking-related illness. And a lot of them, sadly, die sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And often after years of poor health because of smoking. Now, switching will confer benefits straight away. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be taking in that smoke with the tar and the carbon monoxide. They're still going to be having the nicotine, which will give them the comfort that they're used to. But nicotine isn't in any way as dangerous as people believe. And it certainly, you know, doesn't bring the dangers that tar and carbon monoxide do. It's the tar and carbon monoxide that cause the cancers, the respiratory diseases, the heart disease.
Louise,
and it's that we need to eliminate.
Sorry, Louise, forgive my ignorance here, but I'm not a smoker. I don't vape either. And it just... But you're still putting something into your lungs that shouldn't be there. Surely that's doing something bad.
Well, it's not fresh air.
No, exactly.
But, you know, we do all sorts of things that can... carry a little bit of a risk. You know, I cycle, and you know there is a risk with that, but it's still better than sitting on the couch or driving your car. You know, many people will drink coffee, and that raises your heart rate. But we still do it, and we talk blithely about being addicted to our espressos in the morning, and nobody really minds about that.
No,
there are still you could argue that there are health risks about drinking coffee, but people still do it.
I still go to the pub every night. You're absolutely right.
There
you're right. Yes. I mean, e-cigarettes are used for quitting smoking, aren't they? Is this an effective way of doing it?
I very much believe so, yes. And we see the evidence when we look at the figures that people who add a vape to their quit plan when they decide to stop smoking do very well. They can get the nicotine that they're used to, as I say, and they've got something to do with their hands. They say to us that they can go out with their friends who are still smoking, and they've got something to do as well. So there's a whole lot of ritual and habit around this, and it's not for us to make judgments about that. If that's what works for them, I think that's a win. It's a public health win.
Is this where things like, because it used to be, buy this nicotine gum, buy these patches. Is this, it's the routine, so to speak, of having a cigarette that's working with the e-cigs? Is that what it is, do you think?
That's right, yes. And a lot of people say they don't want a medicine to stop smoking. They don't see themselves as ill. Mm. And they say they've tried the patches and the gum. Now, don't get me wrong, patches and gum work really well for some people. But when there are still millions of smokers that we need to get to change their behaviour, to save their lives, then going with something that people like, and people do like vaping. It was said earlier that, some people will try it and it doesn't do it for them. There's all sorts of different ones to use and to try. And sometimes people who tried the early cigar-likes, the ones that look like a cigarette, they got a very poor experience with that because it doesn't carry much nicotine. It's got a very short battery life. There's some much, much better models on the market now.
Yeah.
It's really worth having a bit of an experiment with. And I've heard so many people say, this was great, it worked for me.
I can honestly say that when I was, I tried to stop smoking a little while ago, and when I was using it, it just seemed like, it was like a pencil, like a pen. I found it quite weird, and I was, sucking on a pen, if you know what I mean. how much are these dangers scaremongering? I mean, do we know enough about the long-term effects of e-cigs?
What we do know is the long-term effects of smoking, and I think I've made the point quite clearly that is what we're trying to get away from. And we've had vapes around now for, over 10 years, and consistently the Medicines and Health Regulatory Agency take any reports of any harms that people experience through that. All they're getting, really, is a few reports of, a bit of a dry throat, bit of a cough, but there are side effects with nicotine replacement therapy as well.
I must interrupt you there, Louise, and say to you that I got a terrible cough with it, and that's part of the reason why I stopped. I couldn't. It was a worse cough than I had when I was smoking.
Well, even when somebody is stopping smoking with patches, they will often experience a cough very soon after stopping smoking, because your airways are starting to kind of heal themselves, and they're starting to get rid of a lot of nasty stuff in your lungs. So that cough is part of cleaning your lungs out for anybody who's stopping smoking, however they're doing it.
Why? Tell me just quickly why. Why are these reports coming out that it causes heart attacks? I mean, can there be any truth in it?
There seems to be a whole industry devoted to trying to find harms of vaping. Now, you have to ask yourself, who gains from setting seeds of doubt in people's minds.
It's the companies that buy and pay all the American politicians by any chance, Louise. Is that what it is?
Not for me to comment on.
No. I couldn't possibly comment, no.
But, you know, my wish is that all smokers give vaping a chance, and all people who use both smokes and vapes, because some people use both because they don't realise that there's such a big difference in terms of health risk. I would like them all to stop smoking completely and go on to complete vaping. And, you know, we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen with great success. And, you know, I think it would be a huge win.
Just very, very quickly, Louise, before we've got to go to the news. They don't know exactly, though, what the long-term harm is, do they, yet? Because they haven't been doing it a long time yet.
We could wait another 30 years and then look back. But in the meantime, how many smokers will have died?
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Absolutely. Louise, thank you very, very much indeed for coming onto the Belt and Spurling
thank
show.
Thank you so much, Louise. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye now.
And I'll try giving up. Don't worry.
Louise Ross there, clinical consultant at the National Centre for Smoking Cessation and Training as well. We should say that there is no long-term evidence on either side of this argument.
No, absolutely not. No, there isn't. But look, we know the long terms of smoking is not good. We know that. That's been proven. But I've still got a steward on the... On the e-cigarettes.
I think it's a load of rubbish. You're putting a USB stick up to your face and sucking on it. What a load of rubbish. And you're telling me that that's bad? Load of rubbish. You're listening to the Bell and Spurling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Welcome back to the Bell and Spurling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
We are here until 2 p.m. Now, Jack Letts, otherwise known as Jihadi Jack, told Sky News yesterday about his desire to fight against radicalisation. He was stripped of his British citizenship after joining ISIS in 2014. Now, I'm very pleased to say that on the line we're joined by Professor Anthony Glees from Centre for Security and Intelligence Studies, Buckingham University. A very good morning to you, Professor Anthony.
Good morning
to you, Anthony. You sound like a nice, jolly fellow. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm stressed like everybody else with what is going on over Brexit. That's appalling. But otherwise, I'm jolly, yes.
Right, well, we're going to talk a little bit about Jihadi Jack. Now, do you think it was right to strip him of his citizenship?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely right. People like me, and me in particular, have been saying... For four or five years now, that those people who leave the safety of these shores and go off to fight for any Islamist, not Islamic, but Islamist terrorist organization, throw away their British passport the moment they do so. That has to be the penalty, the moral penalty, but also the political penalty.
Well, what would you say about the people that say, well, he was brainwashed, he was given wrong information, he didn't really know what he's doing, but now he's seen what he's done wrong,
and he wants
to go against it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid I don't agree with that point of view at all, for several reasons. It was his choice to become radicalised in the first place in the United Kingdom at a Bangladeshi mosque in Oxford, we believe, in full view of people in his school, and above all his parents. Don't forget, his parents have been convicted of aiding terrorism.
Yes.
The terrorism they aided being their son Jack Letts. So an English jury found the parents guilty of terrorism offences. They saw what was going on. He then acted on what he believed he needed to do and went off to fight for the so-called Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. So he knew exactly what he was doing. Of course, this is a tragedy. It's a tragedy for his mum and dad.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy for Jack Letts. But most of all, it is a tragedy for the people who suffered. Yeah. And the most appalling, sadistic brutality from the very people whom Jack Letts chose to join.
I agree.
And I would say this to you. If we had had this hard but fair law at the time in 2015, 2016, when people like Shamima Begum and Jack Letts were becoming radicalized and deciding to go off, if they had known that if they go off, this wasn't some kind of gap year, but they lose their British citizenship, they might not have gone there in the first place.
No, that's quite true. What has happened to Shamiga, by the way?
Well, we assume that she is somewhere in Kurdish-held Iraq territory.
Right.
That is our hope. That is the right place for her. People like Shamima, people like Jack Letts, should be put on trial for the offences they are alleged, they are believed to have been committed, but they should be put on trial in those places where the alleged offences were committed. It's a very important principle of international justice. You try these alleged killers and sadistic slaughterers where they committed their crimes, because that's where the evidence is, and that's where the people who suffered at their hands, if they are still alive, reside. So let them be tried in an international court in Kurdish-held Iraq, and let them face the punishment that is meted out to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I can't disagree with you. I agree with you, Tony. But look, I'm playing devil's advocate, though. Look, is it not more dangerous for him to be stateless? I mean, does this not make him more of an enemy to us?
Well, what a pathetic figure he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I accept that he may be a couple of bottles short of a six-pack, although that's not how he comes over on the television.
No.
But how pathetic he is. So, you know, he wants to come home to mum and dad, and he wants to do what he can to prevent other people from going down the same route. I think all of that is eyewash. But in any case, it doesn't matter. He's got dual citizenship, Canadian, British citizenship. It's perfectly legal in international law. We should never do anything that's unlawful. Perfectly legal in our law, in international law, to strip him at the British side of his citizenship, just as it was perfectly lawful to do so in the case of Shamima Begum. And, you know, Jack Letts is busy playing that kind of ethnic card, saying his family have lived in Britain for 4,000 years, great deal longer than any member of my family lived in Britain.
Yeah.
4,000 years.
Yeah.
That, too, is eyewash. It would be racist of any British government to say to somebody whose parents happen to be born in Pakistan, oh, we're stripping you of your British citizenship, but somebody who could claim his mum had lived in Britain or his family had lived for 4,000 years to say, okay, you can't be stripped. There can be no distinction. The terrorists make no distinction. Once you're an Islamist, whatever your colour, black, white, blue, they make no distinction. We shouldn't. We have to be tough. And as I say, this is a preventive measure. If people, young people, understand there are consequences to what they do, maybe they think twice about it. Jalis is lucky to be alive. He should shut up.
Yeah,
Professor Cleese,
can't disagree with that.
Professor Cleese, what would you make about the argument that people like Jack Letts would be the most effective at de-radicalising others?
I think the evidence needs to be looked at carefully.
Mm.
People say this, that and the other. You know, we've heard our Home Secretary, Priti Patel, say on the 1st of November, every single EU citizen coming into Britain is going to be checked for criminality. That is completely impossible, because the checks you would need to carry out are EU checks. And if we leave without a deal on the 1st of November, the documentation won't be there. In the same way, I've heard people say the trouble with jihadists is not that they're too Islamic, it is that they are insufficiently Islamic, and therefore they need to go to radical mosques in order to learn the true nature of Islam. That, you know, we heard this 10, 15 years ago. All complete eyewash. You can become an Islamist from whatever strand of Islam you emanate from, or from none, like Jack Letts. There isn't a single reason. All we have to say, there are some people who are capable of being brainwashed. Some of these people are capable of behaving in an extremely dangerous way, killing others, and they need to be locked up. If not locked up, then the alternative is that we go out and kill them, and that is something, of course, to be avoided if we possibly can.
Absolutely.
So prevention better than cure. I don't believe these people de-radicalize. Sometimes in life you just got to be tough and say, no, this is something up with which we will not put. If you do it, you're out of here.
Yeah, I quite agree with you. Canada, they may yet offer him citizenship, though, might they? I mean, should Boris Johnson be lobbying Trudeau to stop this?
Of course. You know, our distinguished Prime Minister currently in Berlin, he says our future doesn't lie with the people he rather slyly, in my view, calls our European friends and partners, but with the Anglosphere, with Donald Trump, and, of course, with the Canadians. And what this Jack Letts thing has done certainly has really screwed up our relationship with Canada. People got to know the Canadians. They're very fine people, but they take a completely different view of these sorts of things from the view we take here in the United Kingdom. The Canadians, they're very keen on sort of helping people and seeing if hardline Islamists can be integrated, this, that, and the other. I think that is wrong, but the end of the day, we, from the Canadian point of view, have picked a fight with Canada. We say they're our new best friends. They say, well, why don't you take care of this Jack Letts yourself? We say, absolutely no way. So in terms of international relations, it's not good for a Brexiting Britain who says, you know, we want a Canada plus-plus deal for the European Union, where Canada is saying we don't like what the Brits are up to. But it so happens that I say, in this case, I think the British government is absolutely right.
Well, in terms of our policy on citizenship going forward, it is a slippery slope now after Shamima Begum and Jack Letts have lost their British citizenship. But why can't we just prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law and keep it in our control?
Well, there are lots of reasons. I say, if you want to effectively try people, you have to try people where the evidence is.
Yeah.
And the evidence is in that part of the world that was the so-called Islamic State, that is to say in Syria and in Iraq. So it will be very difficult to try these people in the United Kingdom, very difficult for our police to get the evidence. You know, why should the British taxpayer pay for police to spend months, possibly years, scouring these desert areas for the evidence of their butchery and brutality? But there's another reason too. If they are tried and if they are convicted, we fill our prisons with highly dangerous people who will radicalize others. That's a real problem. We have no interest in having any of these people back and put in our prison. And indeed, we can't even cope with those people who have managed to come back. We're told that only about 25% of those returning jihadists from the Islamic State who have managed to slip back into our shores have ever had their collars felt by the police. 75%, nothing has happened to them at all. How clever is that?
Yes, it's unbelievable. Do you think there is a difference between Shamima Begum and others, given that she was 15 when she left with an older man? I mean, does the responsibility ever change hands? What about a baby, for example?
Well, I think where you're dealing with real children, there are very, very difficult questions to answer. And I think you've got to think that the children of these so-called jihadi brides, they were really sex slaves, weren't they?
Yeah.
And their jihadist fathers, where are they best located?
Yeah.
My view, I'm not a psychologist, but in my view, they are probably best located where they are at the moment. That is to say, in Iraq and Syria. There's nothing that binds them in any way to the United Kingdom. Yeah. As for people over the age of 15, 16, I'm sorry, we're told all the time that the people this age want to be treated as grown-ups.
We are, yeah. We're told.
Yes,
yep, yep.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what, you know, I accept that when you're young and stupid, you can be young and stupid, but yeah. That doesn't add up to wanting to go off to kill people.
To no, a point. Yeah, to a point.
Absolutely
yeah.
Right, my friend. Absolutely right.
Thank you very, very much for coming onto the Bell and Sperling show.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much indeed, Anthony. To Professor Anthony Gleese, Centre for Security and Intelligence Studies, Buckingham University.
Thank you very, very much.
What a wonderful. Listen, he's right. How can I disagree with that?
Yeah, you have to play devil's advocate. It's difficult, isn't it?
It's very difficult. Yeah.
You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell,
and very much plus the cow.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, you are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show. It's minus the bell, but very much plus the cow. Now, after two games in the Premier League, there's a man who's not very popular on Tyneside and Newcastle United. That is Steve Bruce, whereas a man that is very, very popular in the northeast of England is former Northern Ireland international and Newcastle United player Tommy Cassidy. A big, big hello to you, Tommy.
Hello. Hello, Cal.
How are you? Are you all right?
I'm fine, yes.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Now, Steve Bruce's first two games of the Premier League haven't exactly gone to plan. He lost 1-0 at home to Arsenal, which I don't think's any great shame, really. They played very, very well. However, they did have a 3-1 loss away to Norwich, which is a bit, well, I say a bit, it's diabolical, really. What's your thoughts on these two results?
Well, the Arsenal result doesn't surprise me. But the Norwich result maybe does, yes, because you know, you're supposed to try and get results at certain teams, and I think Norwich is one of them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Newcastle United, as a team that, in my opinion, I'm going to say that as it is my club, you deserve to be in the Premier League, don't they? Whereas Norwich, a newly promoted side, we should be batting them away really, really easily.
We should be, yeah. So we've got the players to do it, I think. Mm. But we didn't do it. And at the end of the day, at the end of the season, it's all about results. It's all about points. And we need points.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. Now, although we did lose 3-1, we did get onto the score sheet. Now, when you were playing at Newcastle and you were losing, say the team was losing, how important was it for the morale of the team to get onto the score sheet?
Well, it's very important. As long as our team are all together, that's the most important thing. They all know what they're going out to play. And they know during the Monday to Friday in the training ground how they build up to the Saturday's game. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, let's have a look. Last season, Newcastle United lost their first six games, their opening six games, but five of them were against the big six. So your Chelsea's, your Man United's, that sort of thing. However, are we looking at having a miserable season this season? Because we did have Rafa Benitez last season and we haven't got him this season. So are we in for a long season, Tommy?
I think it could be a long season. I hope it's not. I don't like the use of the term a long season, but I hope it's not a long season. Mm. But it could really turn out to be that because of the way the things have started.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there could be some positive for Newcastle United fans in that Mike Ashley spent $40 million on Joel Linton. He spent $16.5 million on St. Maxim. But is it a little bit of, is it too little too late?
Well, some of my friends do say that it's a little bit too late, too little.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't go 100% behind that, to be honest with you. Mm. I just feel that you've got to spend money today. And you've got to spend lots of money today if you want a successful team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because, I mean, I used to roughly know how much players are worth. But, I mean, I've got no idea these days. $80 million for Maguire and things like that. The money's just gone stupid in the game, hasn't it?
Well, it's gone stupid. But I keep emphasising that I'm an old-timer. And the money that's gone stupid in my day was a different world altogether. But the game is improved. It has no doubt about it. They're fitter today. They've got more things going for them today. So, but money is the most important thing today, unfortunately.
But I mean, if we look back at your day, Tommy, I mean, you were very good friends with George Best, were you not? I mean, how much would he be worth these days?
Oh, he'd be worth billions today. Never mind millions, billions today.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful, wonderful player.
But you were very good friends with him, weren't you?
I was very, very good friends with him, yes, I was. He was a lovely man. And he was the best, I keep emphasising this, he's the best player I've ever seen in my life.
Really? Would you not say Pele was any better than him?
Yeah, but I keep saying this, that Pele played in the sun every week.
Mm.
But Best, he played in the rain, the snow, the fog, every week, something different. He adjusted to the conditions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Who was the best player that you played with while you were at Newcastle United?
It was probably Terry Hibbett.
Terry Hibbett, yeah.
Terry Hibbett, Tony Green, the two great players. Malcolm McDonald, great goal scorer.
Mm. Mm.
But Terry Hibbett, for me, probably was the best player I played with.
Yeah, and since your time, Tommy, who's the best player you've ever seen at Newcastle United?
Probably Peter Beardsley.
Yeah, he was a fantastic player, Peter Beardsley, wasn't he?
He was a very, very good player. Good player indeed.
Would you not say someone like Alan Shearer or Paul Gascoigne?
Well, Gazza was a great player as well.
Mm.
I mean, they were all great players, but it's, you know how you define them. Gazza was a brilliant player.
Yeah. No, he was. I mean, he had his demons, as did George Best, didn't he? So it's just a shame.
They had problems, yeah. There's no doubt, like myself.
But perhaps, maybe, the likes of George Best and Paul Gascoigne could possibly tackle those demons slightly better in today's game, because they do have the support in the clubs now, don't they?
They do have the support. They had in those days, it was freedom.
Mm.
Today, it's very, very strict today. And thank goodness it is.
What would you say to some of the fans on the first game of the season for Newcastle United? They lost 1-0 to Arsenal. There were a number of fans that boycotted and didn't turn up. I mean, that would have been unheard of when you were playing for Newcastle.
It would do, because they're fans. They're Newcastle United fans, supporters. They should come and watch, no matter how the results are going, because the more supporters are, the better it is for players on the pitch.
Mm, yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Newcastle United, I suppose, are possibly the minority, if you think about it, with supporting local players. We've got both the Longstaffs playing for us. And I mean, what would you say to younger players and younger lads playing football who could be 5, 6 years old, moving up, maybe under 10s, that sort of thing, playing football? What would you say to them in order to become a professional footballer?
No, just let them play. Let them. The word is enjoyment. You've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you enjoy it, it's a big bonus. And I thought the young players at that age, I mean, I wish I was that age now, with the things are now. But I just think now that if I had a son that age, I would bring him up the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I mean, as we said, we touched on earlier on, the money has taken over the game. And I mean, Newcastle fans, would you say they're the best in the world?
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I've been all over the world myself, and there's Newcastle supporters all over the world.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think we are the best fans in the world, Tommy. And I mean, you can't say we haven't been patient. 50 years since Newcastle United raised the trophy, the Fairs Cup. I mean, you played in a cup final, didn't you?
Well, as I keep telling people, I was there the same day. Well, whether I played or not, it's a different thing altogether. Because it was embarrassing. I mean, I that's one of the things that I really regret. The way we played that day was terrible.
Mm. That was against Liverpool, wasn't it?
Against Liverpool.
What happened in that game? Well, why did it? So was it a bit of the occasion? Was it a bit of Liverpool just being better than you? What happened in that match?
It was both. It was the occasion. We came before the game down into London, and we stayed in the hotel in London for a week beforehand. Mm. We never did that when we played in the league game in London.
Yeah.
And when we paid the penalty, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, no. Oh, well, I couldn't think of anything worse, Tommy, walking out to an FA Cup final. And you were the favourites in that match as well.
I think we were the favourites, as I remember.
Yeah.
We were the favourites.
Oh, I couldn't think of anything worse. Anything worse there. Let me get your prediction. Newcastle United are going to Tottenham this weekend. How do you think that's going to go? It's going to be a tough game, isn't it?
It's going to be a very, very tough game indeed. I can't see them winning it. I just hope that it's one more day. I'm going to have a day off and they'll have a good week beforehand and they prepare themselves the right way and they do the business on the Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, would you be happy with a point, Tommy?
I'd be happy with a point, yes, I would do, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And where do you think Newcastle are going to finish this season in terms of the table? Are they going to be fighting for relegation or what are they going to do?
I think they'll finish between the middle of the table and the relegation. I don't think they'll get relegated, but I think they'll finish probably about 16th or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think Steve Bruce is going to make it until the end of the season?
I don't think so. I've just heard... supporters talking about him, and he's not very popular for many supporters.
I know a man.
I don't know. I hope he does.
Well, I know a man that is popular that could take the job, Tommy.
Huh?
That'd be you.
Oh, I'd love that.
Tommy Cassidy is Newcastle United manager. I'd be happy with that. Tommy Cassidy. That's what we want. Tommy, thank you very, very much for coming on to Love Sport Radio and onto the Bell and Sperling Show. Thank you very, very much. You've been listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell, very much plus the cow.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Posh Project!
Hey! Johnny Burrow is here.
Hello, team. Hope you're ready to lose.
Ooh. You tried to put your headphones on, didn't they? They don't work.
Fighting talk.
I won yesterday, though.
You did. You're in a bit
Even
of a resurgence.
Even though I was in a mood.
You know, that's two on the spin. Ladies and gentlemen, we now welcome producer Logan Hughes.
Because what is it time for, Johnny Sperling?
It is now time for Games with Laurie.
Hooray! What is the game about today, producer Laurie?
Well, we've been talking about the worst names of films of all time because... Ooh, yeah. Do you know what? I can't even remember. It's such a bad name. I can't even remember what it's called.
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. The new James
it's
Bond.
It's terrible, isn't it, Posh Boy?
Shocking.
Especially they were going to call it Shatterhand, which sounds... That sounds kind of...
You did what?
Shatterhand?
It sounds...
When did you do that?
Just get some more paper.
Have you washed them? Oh, blimey, don't want to shatter him.
Maybe that's what they thought. Maybe, can you imagine the production meeting?
Yeah.
I thought we'd go for Shatterhand. Anyway, it's not called that. It's called No Time to Die, which is one of the worst names in history.
No Time to Wipe.
Okay, anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some sequels.
Okay.
From the past.
Yes. Yeah. What's the
and you just have to tell me if it's the real name of the sequel or not.
Oh, okay.
Right. So simple. Hard to get wrong.
It's true or false again.
It's true or false.
Always is.
Excellent. Here we go. Start with Mr. Johnny Sperling.
No, start with me.
Johnny Sperling, I daren't, but we'll start with you.
Here we go.
Okay. Do you know what? I'm going to start with a Harry Potter for you because I know that you haven't seen them. You don't have a clue what they're called.
I like Harry Potter.
So you basically,
you will know. I haven't got a clue about Harry Potter.
You've got to know if this is true or is this a real Harry Potter film or is it a fake Harry Potter film?
Yeah.
It's not the first one. That's the...
Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, it's done you.
There you go. Do you know what the second one is?
Do you know what the first one is in America, though?
It's the Sorcerer's Stone They think that Americans are too stupid to handle the concept of a philosopher.
I don't know the second one, though. Chamber of Secrets or something?
Oh, it is. Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably will have heard of this then. Harry Potter and the Mirror of Erised. Is that a real Harry Potter film or is it a fake Harry Potter film? Johnny Sperling, for your first point.
And the Mirror of Erised.
Erised.
True.
It's false.
The Mirror is a real part of Harry Potter, but it's not a film title.
Exactly. It's in the first one. It's in another one as well.
It's a mirror, Johnny Sperling, where you stare into it and you will see whatever you desire.
Is the mirror,
you see Belle.
Is the mirror not in the Goblet of Fire, though?
Do not desire
it's in the Goblet
Belle.
Of Fire as well, isn't it? Because Dumbledore comes in and goes, oh, Harry. That's the first, or that's Michael Gambon, that one.
Yeah, that's where he puts his hand on his shoulder.
Yes. Here we go. Zero, nil, quad.
Okay, that's 0 points so far, Johnny Sperling.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
Started the week badly, you're carrying on. Okay, Cal Halbert.
Nation's favourite.
I know you like your musicals.
I do.
Sister Act.
Sister Act 2.
There was Sister Act 2. Unfortunately, I can't give you the answer.
Do you know, Sister Act 2 is the sequel that everyone says, oh, the second one's never as good as the first one. It's always Godfather 2 or Sister Act 2. They always go, that's just as good.
Yeah, I think Godfather 2 is better. Anyway, if you can add Robert De Niro to something, it's going to be better most of the time, unless it's the 90s.
I would love Robert De Niro to go, oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Okay, sorry, Laurie.
That's okay. So Sister Act 2.
Yep.
Is the tagline of that film,
oh,
back in the habit? Nuns famously wear habits.
Ah, yes, I know, but it's... Oh, that sounds very funny. Like, I'm going to say true.
Yeah, it is.
Yes!
True,
it is. Yeah, I'll do that.
I didn't ask you that one, Johnny, because I knew you'd know it.
How did you know I'd know that one?
I bet you haven't seen the first one. You've watched the second one.
No. I've watched the first one, not the second.
Have you seen it in the theatre?
No.
Can I have a question?
Never do that.
Yeah, sorry, Johnny. Johnny Poshboy Burrow for the first point.
Go on, Poshboy.
Legally Blonde 2.
A classic. Reese Witherspoon classic.
Yeah, you've seen it. Do you know the tagline?
Not for the life of me.
Is it Red, White and Blonde?
Oh, nice. I like that. Red, White and Blonde.
No, it's not.
It is, actually.
Oh, oh! That's so bad. How can it be that?
Okay. Now we're talking.
Right. Have you seen Inception, John?
Yes. There isn't an Inception 2, is there?
Well, not yet.
Ah,
but it's in the making, according to several different people.
It is so confusing, that film.
I fell asleep about half an hour in. I woke up, everything was exploding. I was just like, what?
No, just
did you realise that you were still alive?
It's a mad film.
Film within a film, Johnny.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
How did you know you were actually watching the film?
Oh, we are very clever.
Okay. Is the sequel going to be called The Apparition?
Inception, The Apparition. Ooh. I'm going to go with my main instinct, which is true.
False.
Oh,
I don't even think it's been...
Down
there, muffed it.
I don't think it's even been commissioned. It would be hard to establish a timeline for a sequel for Inception, wouldn't it? It's like you wouldn't do one for Shutter Island. It wouldn't make sense.
Ooh, spoilers.
Oh, it's a great film.
Spoilers.
What, spoilers that it has an ending?
what a great film.
I wouldn't
film
watch that film. It finishes.
Shutter Island, what a great film.
Okay. Whose go is it?
The nation's favourite.
Oh, yeah, just because Johnny Spurling's got no points yet.
Yep.
Robert De Niro fan, are you?
Robert De Niro. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
I am. Are you a Robert De Niro fan?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Are you talking to me?
I love Taxi Driver.
I'm the only one here.
Well, Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm. He's made a lot of bad films since all his good ones.
He has. Meet the Fockers.
No, that's a good film.
No, it's not.
Meet the Fuckers is great.
No,
he's made worse ones than that, but anyway. In fact, his most recent good performance was Silver Linings Playbook. He was great in that. Yeah, but,
what a great film that is.
Terrible film, but his acting performance is very good in The Intern.
And you know what I found out? He's going to be in The Irishman this year.
Yes, he is.
With Al Pacino, which of course he was in with
Joe Pesci.
And various different films.
Joe Pesci.
I didn't realise that Al Pacino's never been directed by Scorsese.
Has he not? No, of course not, no.
But he is now.
He's now. No, he never has been, though.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Coppola. He was directed by Coppola quite a few times.
Okay.
Don't start me off.
Raging
Bull.
Was there a sequel called The Matador? He would have, of course, been playing an older character. Was quite battered up by at some point in there.
Do you know what? It's one of those things where I imagine there is The Matador, but I don't think De Niro was in it.
But it doesn't mean it wasn't a sequel, though, does it?
Yeah. I'm going to say false.
That is false. Well done.
Oh, he's going to win again.
I'm not. I'm not. 5,000 points the last round, remember?
He's had easy ones.
True.
I haven't.
Okay. Johnny Burrow.
Right, go on.
Little Mermaid. Do you like it?
Under the Sea, mate. Love it.
Okay, well.
The seaweed is always green.
Have you got one right yet?
No.
Right.
Is The Little Mermaid 2 called?
Get it wrong.
You had a bad one last time.
Is it called that? In which Ariel is very hungover.
You had a bad one last time. Is that the curry house? That was. Yeah. Oh, you had a bad one last time.
Is it called Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea?
Yeah, it'll be that stupid.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that. It is.
I've had some nasty ones.
You had Harry Potter.
You had a bad one last time.
Have you seen any of the Cyborg films?
No.
So you haven't seen Cyborg 1 or 2?
Absolutely not.
So Cyborg 3, you wouldn't know what the...
We'll never clue, mate.
Well, Cyborg 3...
I would never Danny LaRue.
Is it called... Bear in mind, it's called Cyborg. Is it called Cyborg 3, The Recycler?
False.
That's actually true.
Sterling.
I've had enough of this.
Snort from 3.
Oh, dear.
How does it go, Cal? Had your chance.
Muffed it.
All right. Toy Story 2, have you seen it?
Yes.
That is another good sequel.
It's very good. The Mickey Mouse questions.
Yeah, but I know everyone knows that
Bloody
Toy Story...
Cyborg.
Everyone knows that Toy Story 2 exists.
Never heard of it.
But you might not know the tagline.
Get on with it.
Okay.
Toy Story 2.
Is it called Toy Story 2, Back in the Box?
Back in the Box. Toy Story 2, Back in the Box. I'm gonna say false.
That is false.
Of course it's false.
Is it not Woody's Roundup?
I have no idea what it is.
Of course it's false.
It doesn't have one.
This may not have one. I'm 2 points behind him, so this actually doesn't.
Yeah, this
matter.
Is just one at the moment, right, and then the final round will be for 5,000 points.
Comes down to the final round, whatever.
Okay. Sound of Music.
Yes.
You may well remember at the end of The Sound of Music, they escape over the hills.
Yeah, the hills are alive, mate. Everyone
the hills
knows
are
that.
Alive. And they escape across them away from the Nazis. But
they certainly do.
Is the sequel, before Julie Andrews retired and couldn't sing anymore, is the sequel called The Sound of Freedom?
Ooh.
It's a good title.
Sufficiently bad, but I would have heard of it. False.
Well done, that's false.
Yeah, obviously, it was false.
Why?
There's never been a sequel to The Sound of Music.
I didn't think you'd even seen The Sound of Music, Johnny.
How dare you? It's one of my favourites.
What a few You're of your favourite things, to be fair.
Exactly.
Nice.
Wild kids
like
that fly with the moon
like
on their
it.
Wing.
Okay.
Yes.
You must have seen Terminator.
Yeah.
I've seen Cyborg.
Have you seen Cyborg 3?
No, recycler? I have not seen Cyborg anything.
Have you seen Terminator 2?
Yes.
I'll be back.
Do you know
as
the name of it?
Renewable plastic.
No, I can't remember it.
Is it Terminator 2, The Protector?
No. That's false.
Definitely?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's called Judgment Day.
That's right. It's Judgment Day, yeah.
Judgment Day. That's 5,000, isn't it?
I knew that was false, though.
Oh, that was 5,000.
That was 5,000. So
oh, hang on
he's suddenly
he's
in the lead.
He could win. He could win this.
Here we go. Okay.
Oh,
that was
no.
a Mickey Mouse
Have
question.
Have you seen Alvin and the Chipmunks, Cal?
No.
Do you know of it?
I know the cartoon. I've seen the cartoons, but not the films.
Right, so there are at least two films, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no.
There's Alvin and the Chipmunks,
yeah,
which is the original. Imagine that was the second one.
Alvin and the Chipmunks,
I know what the
original.
Second one is called.
Oh. Is it Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel?
Oh, that is very good.
Isn't that good?
The Squeakquel. Oh, just, and if I am wrong here, I'll take my hat off to both of you. You've done very good. I'm going to say it's true.
Yeah, it is true.
It is true. Well done.
Yes!
Cal wins.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Cal wins.
Yes!
Can
happy.
I have mine?
So no need for a tiebreaker this week, but we can make sure that Johnny loses again. That's Johnny Sperling, not Johnny Burrow.
Look so, at his face!
Johnny,
look at his face!
Johnny Poshboy Burrow.
Yeah.
The Lion King is known for having...
Lions.
A few sequels. There's The Lion King.
There is.
And then there's The Lion King 2.
There is indeed.
And there's been remakes of The Lion King.
Yes, there have.
But was there a Lion King set after the first Lion King... and prior to the second Lion King, called The Lion King 1.5.
Yeah, I bet there was, you know.
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
You think there's a film called The Lion King 1.5?
You know what, mate? I don't care at this point. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yes!
Johnny Sperling loses.
Can
sorry,
I say the
sorry,
final
spells.
Scores? Yeah. The final scores are in 1, Cal Halbert on 5,003. In 2, Posh Boy on 5,002. In 3, Johnny Sperling on 5,000. There we go. That
hang
was...
On a minute, hang on a minute. Hang was, on a minute. Hang on, I'm still in the lead games-wise.
Are you?
Yeah, of course I am. I won 5.
I can't remember that.
Yes. Yes. Well, how many have you won?
4.
3?
4 now.
3.
4 now.
You won 2 on the trot and then you did...
And I had one already.
Really?
Yes. I've
5,
got 4.
4. What's Postboy on?
1. Right, you're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show. Minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.